Hello there. Hello there and welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Fact, Fiction or Bullshit. Or for all my new listeners out there, the FFB podcast for short. Hi, my name is PJ. Every episode we will delve into the unknown to get history, the facts, the theories and conspiracies, then ultimately decide fact, fiction or bullshit. Just like to say I hope everybody is okay out there. The world is a weird and wonderful place at the moment, and a scary place at that. So I just want to make sure that everyone's okay. Just want to say as well, please check up on people. Old, young, whether they're doing okay or not, everyone still likes to hear that, like, are you okay? Can I help? It's a nice thing to do as well. But on to today's show. I know it's been 2 weeks since I've done one. Life, unfortunately. Work, really hard. I'm actually a few days off, and that was... it was needed, believe me. So today's show. What was the first conspiracy you people out there have ever heard? I mean, more importantly, when? I mean, for me... Like, the whole conspiracy theory thing, the concept, you know, the theories on aliens, UFOs, paranormal and other things, I mean, they seem to have gone through the roof since the invention of the internet. But how did we find out about them? Before the dawn of the new age of the online world, do you know what I mean? Well, the answer is quite simple. I mean, we either read books... But with books, by the time, obviously, they'd been published, I mean, everything was forgotten. Or we listened to the radio. I mean, as weird as it seems, I mean, that's the truth. But this is where this mad story originates from. What interested me most about, you know, this being and his subject was how in depth he went into everything he said. The fact that he produced, and the fact that till this day he's pretty much remained anonymous. If you've not guessed by now, we are talking about the person, or time traveller, or doctor, all for my Whovians out there, the gentleman or person, whoever they might be, John Titor. Well, we'll be asked in a fact, fiction or bullshit as towards whether or not he was a visitor from the future, or whether or not he played one of the best pranks this earth has ever seen. Before we start at the beginning, I mean, I researched quite a lot into this, and it seems to have been like watered down quite a lot, and what I mean by that is the fact is that everything I read, everything I researched, everything was different from one person to the next, from one website to another, from one documentary to another. Everything was different. I've gone with what I think in my mind sounds correct and plausible from what I have read and seen. That's going to be my opinion on this. No one else's, mine. Considering everyone else has had their opinion, I'm going to have mine. But let's begin. I mean, John Titor, I don't know, it's an American English thing, I think. I'm going to say John Titor, because that's the way I believe they say it. He was an alleged time traveler soldier from the year 2036, who shared like detailed information about his mission, his time machine, future events and the original timeline, like with the forums that he was in the years 2000-2001. The thing was, he didn't just show up on a forum and go, "Hi, I'm John Titor, I'm from the future." It began a little bit before that. I mean, how did it really start? Well, it all started in the year 1998. Late night paranormal host Art Bell received two faxes from an individual claimed to have pertinent information on the nature of time travel. I already knew who Art Bell was. because obviously doing the podcast I do, if I didn't know who he was, well, I'd probably get a lot of stick for it. But for the people who don't know who Art Bell is, Art Bell was the founder and the original host of the paranormal theme radio show. Start that again. I'm going a bit too fast. I'm getting a bit excited, people, because this is a subject I love. Art Bell was the founder and original host of the paranormal radio show Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast AM was, if I'm not mistaken, they actually aired the Bob Lazar interview. Hence the reason why I got a bit excited. I'm sorry. This program still airs today. And you can listen to it online. It's in America on various different frequencies, pretty much in every state as well. Also, they have their back catalogue on Spotify. I'm not promoting there, by the way. I'm on Spotify. I'm just merely hooking someone up. It's fine. So back to these facts in hand. For all these people out there that are an age, that don't really know what a fax is. Technically, it's just an email that goes through to another machine, but rather than put what you've written on a screen, it actually prints it out on a piece of paper. So it's just like instant mail, really. It's weird because... to give you a little insight into the way that children now view technology, it was many years back. VHS is long gone. DVDs were all the rage. Blu-rays were amazing. My little nephew came over and he was going through my films and he picked up my Star Wars VHS Collector's Edition. All three. So New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. Picked one out and he went, "Uncle PJ, what's this?" I said, "It's a film, mate." He went over to the DVD player and went, "It don't fit." That is the way technology has gone. So that's why I'm feeling the need to explain certain bits about this as well today. Don't get me wrong, it made me laugh so much because kids nowadays, I mean, it's not even a fact about a DVD or a Blu-ray or a computer game. Everything's downloadable nowadays, and I dare say it's probably going to be the same thing in 10 years' time, where someone's going to look at a Blu-ray or a DVD and go, "Where the hell does this go then?" But anyway, back to the facts in hand. So he received two faxes. And I want to go back to these faxes as well. I mean, the first fax, kind of quoting, kind of not. The fax was a detail. I mean, this fax detailed the discovery of time travel. And this involved I'm losing my words tonight. I don't get what it is. It's not like I've never done a podcast before, right? So this detailed the discovery of time travel. And this involved a particle accelerator at CERN in Switzerland in the year 2034. This fact also claimed that a brick wall existed in the timeline, and that no time traveler could break into or past 2564. You got to remember, back then, it's a fax. I mean, I know it's Art Bell, I know he's a conspiracy theorist, and I know he's a paranormal radio show investigator. What did he think? I mean, what did the people on his production crew think? I mean, did they think this guy was just like a wacko? I mean, obviously they probably get a lot of it on that show, I'm not going to lie. Anyway, on to the second facts. While less detailed, I mean, this fact's promised photographic evidence, as well as scans of the time traveler's time machine operations manual. Try and think, in 1998, I mean, did we have scanners back then? I don't know. But after this fax, that was it. But it did not end there. It did not end there. End there. I mean, fast forward to the year 2000. November 2nd, 2000. An individual using the forum username Time Travel Zero posted at the Time Travel Institute in a thread titled Time Travel Paradoxes. Just so you know me, people, I always do my research. I want to go have a look at this website, and it is a real website, even to today. They have everything on there. Admittedly, you start time travel. The first forums you get, the first three or four, is all about time travel. The more you scroll down, they go into everything else. Will I be using this website in future? Yes, I will be. It does look really, really good. Like I said, they push on you the time travel thing first. Good site for me. I'd never heard of it before. But like I said, I have to do my research. And if I don't do it, I feel like I'm cheating not only myself, but the people listening to me. That's why I looked into it. I mean, you people out there are probably asking, well, come on, PJ. What did this post say? I'm going to quote what it said here. It's a bit off-couth. It's a bit like you might not understand it at the minute. But during the duration of this podcast, I'm kind of hoping you might. Here goes. Wow, Paul. Paul is right on the money. I was just about to give up hope on anyone knowing who Tipler or Kerr was on this world line. Tipler and Kerr. I looked into that as well. Tipler refers to a cylinder that creates time travel. And Kerr is the black hole that allows this. On to the rest of the conversation. We're going to come back to Tipler and Kerr later on. That's why I'm going to fly through that quickly. By the way, number two is the correct answer. And yes, the basics of time travel start at CERN in about a year and end in the year 2034 with the first time machine built by GE. GE, which I will refer to later on in the podcast, is General Electric. Too bad I can't post pictures or I would show you to, otherwise I would show you them. Then, what's he referring you to? Like, I would show you what? I mean, a lot of people would say, well, show us a time machine, right? Maybe. But keep a pin in that because we are going to come back to that because it's one of the things, people, ladies, gents, that, you know, I always come back to stuff. If I fly through something, that normally means I'm coming back to it. And that was it. That was all he posted. I say he. I don't mean that in any way. Because at the end of the day, none of us knew who this person was. But that was it until January 27th, 2001. A person who identified himself as John Titor posted on the Art Bell's Post to Post BBS. A post to post is like a bulletin board where you can create threads, create content, questions, answers and whatnot. I find it intriguing though, Art Bells though. Why was that guy so important? I don't know. But anyway, back to the point in hand. He created a new thread and it was titled, I am from the year 2036. Wow. In 2001, how prominent was the internet, people, ladies, gents? I don't think it was as... Well, no, it's not as great as it was now. And I still remember that every time you logged on, that you were dialing up. And even though you were dialing up, there was no guarantee you was going to get online. If the house phone rang, you were getting locked off. Anyway, he posted online, created a new thread titled "I am from the year 2036." He started by saying, "Greetings. I am a time traveler soldier from the year 2036. And I'm on my way home after completing my mission to obtain an IBM 5100 computer system." And by the way, it's a portable PC. More to come. "My time machine is a stationary mass temporal displacement unit manufactured by General Electric. The unit is powered by two top spin dual positive singularities that produce a standard offset Tipler sinusoid. And I would be happy to post pictures of it." And ladies, gents, people, he did so. I mean, and not only this, he also held like Q&A sessions where you could go up there, ask the question, he'd actually reply to it. But more on that later. I mean, I want to get back to the machine. And when I say machine, I know people out there are thinking, "Oh my God, he's got a telephone booth. He's got the Doctor Who police box. He's got a DeLorean. He's got this, that, the other." No. And this is what took me about this story because it wasn't as far-fetched as that. You know what? It sounds a bit melodramatic, to be honest. Now I'm thinking about it. It does. Everyone's assuming you have like a cool car with like this or that, or a cool spaceship. No. Basically, the way it was, it was just like a time machine unit that in reality you could put into your shed and go back in time or forward in time. It was a unit that you could put in your Ford Fiesta. It was a unit that you could put in your BMW. It was a unit you could put in your smart car. So not very glamorous. He actually went on to like describe this unit. He said the source. He actually called it as well. He actually gave it a name. He called, I think, what did he call it? The C204. A C204 gravity distortion unit. And he actually confirmed this on one of the forum posts as well, by the way. I've got another quote here as well. "The source of power for the C204 that allows it to distort and manipulate gravity comes from two micro singularities that were created, captured, and cleaned at a much larger and circular facility. The breakthrough that will allow for this technology will occur when, well, will occur within a year or so when CERN brings a larger facility online." Just, I need you people to think about this here, right? When CERN brings a larger facility online. This was January 27th, 2001. The Large Hadron Collider wasn't turned on till 2008. Also to say that a lot of people didn't know about CERN in 2001. A few people did, granted, but not the way you say CERN in Switzerland now to anybody, everyone knows what it is. Why? Because of the power of the internet. How did he know about it back then? That's another question for another time, right? I mean, it didn't only stop there. I mean, he went on in great detail to explain his unit. Quoting here, I've had to write these down because these are probably a little bit too much for me. Magnetic housing units for dual micro singularities. Electron injection manifold to alter mass and gravity of singularities, cooling and X-ray venting systems, gravity sensors, VGL system, which stands for variable gravity lock, I sound like the Doc out of Back to the Future here at this moment in time, and it's quite out there. And this is why I found this title, this theory, this conspiracy, this hoax, because let's face it, people, it could be. It's why I found it so interesting. I mean, most hoaxes, they'll go into a bit, but then they'll back off, and they'll just leave it for people's minds, like, to run wild, you know what I mean? But this person, this guy, this lady, whoever it might be, went full on. I mean, like I said, he'd done plenty of Q&A sessions, you know, where he actually, like, give his impression of the future. Like Stalin declarations, if you ask me. Civil wars, world wars, nuclear wars. He also gives dates as well. What I'll say about the dates, I did write them down, but it's pointless. Them dates have come and gone. So a lot of people would probably say, like, bullshit. But it's not until after he had these Q&A sessions, he followed it up by saying this. The declarations that he put is not certain. And this meant that our future would not necessarily match up with his past. Wow, that's just like... it's different level stuff. Would not necessarily match up with his past, especially with his appearance on our timeline. There's a question here to ask, ladies, gents and people. But that's if you choose to ask it. And I'm going to ask it. Did John Titor change our world line future simply by being here? That's a screwed up question if ever I've heard one. I mean, everything we've ever seen on TV, I know it's like media, I know it's like pop culture. The one thing they all say, you do not change the past. Now, if this guy was for real, he changed it. Like I said, done plenty of Q&A, but two questions caught my eye. Now, I've been going for about 25 minutes here. I just need a quick sip of drink, and I'll be back with you. So two questions caught my eye. And it's the first one that I'm about to divulge that actually throws this whole story up into the air. One user asked, why did you come back for an old IBM 5100? For me, that's a fair question. You try to tell me in the year 2036 you've got nothing better than that. I dare say the calculators in the year 2036 have got more memory. And he answered. He stated that this personal computer had a hidden function. This hidden function would allow it to read old code. But in his world line, they didn't have any such machine. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, this whole thing has been watered down, and I see various different things. They asked him why he needed it to go back. So why did he need to take it back? Two things I see. One was due to like an EMP being used on the world's computer systems, knocking them all down. Another one was due to the fact that they had a Mendelian virus. You remember the old like Y2K thing? They called it a legacy system error. And they needed to reinstate the old code to get the system back up. Which kind of makes sense. Here's the wow moment for me. I mean, this computer was bought out in 1975, by the way, yeah? So you're going 25 years later. No one knew this computer had that function. No one. Apart from the IBM engineers, who were sworn to secrecy. Why were they sworn to secrecy? Because they were worried about how the competition might use it. Not uncommon, yeah? This was also confirmed by an IBM engineer themselves who actually came out publicly and said it. And he was by the name of Bob Duct. I say Duct. It's spelled D-U-B-K-E. How would John Titor have known that? A computer system from back in 1975. Do you know that nowadays you can go on the internet, you can find out pretty much anything. Even if the internet was on back then, would you have found stuff like this out? I don't think so. But to know that was true? Ooh. Bit different, right? But then there's the next one. I suppose this is a question I'd probably ask first before the first one, to be honest. Could he take people back with him? Like, could he take people back to the future? Back to the that whole sentence just sounds wrong. Back to the future. If you're going back, you should be going back in time, not to the future. He said, "Yeah, I can." Only two or three people. He stated that he didn't actually think that anybody would actually like the year 2036. This is where this statement got even better for me. This is why I picked this question out. He stated that the displacement unit moves through time and not space. I mean, a lot of people tend to forget about this. Well, not forget, but just don't even know. I mean, you look at the time machines you've seen on pop culture, right? DeLorean, TARDIS, Bill and Ted's. They all get in there, go back in time, but they go to a different place. That doesn't make sense. This does. I mean, even when you watch it in Avengers, I think it's Endgame, where they go back in time. That wouldn't be the case according to John Titor. Basically, where you come... So, say for instance, you was in the year 2036. And you want to go back to 1975. And you was in New York. Or for me, in London. We could go back in time to the year 1975. From 2036. We could. But if we started in New York or started in London, we would go back and we would still be in New York or London. That is the way it works. You couldn't go back in time to 19th century Greece if you was living in New York. It just wouldn't happen. You'd have to travel to Greece to go back in time. And that, for me, just sounds so right. I mean, the way he put it and the way he said it, he was in Tampa, which I think is in Florida, in the year 2036. He had to drive from Tampa all the way to Minnesota, find a car that suited the timeline, and went back in time. He didn't actually say where he was in the year 2000, but he said he had to travel there. So, from 1975, he had to drive to where he wanted to be, transfer time travel to the year 2000. He actually said that he actually went to the year 2000. He actually picked up some more artifacts. So he said to travel back, he had to drive back to Minnesota, find a vehicle that was spec to that time, transport back. He then had to drive back to Tampa, find another vehicle that would match the spec and drive and transport back. It sounds quite complicated. It's not as easy as just like pulling a switch or pressing a couple of buttons. I mean, he even went further. I mean, he also explained what it was like to witness time travel, as he had like done so before. Basically, you're looking at a vehicle, it's stationary, but it appears to accelerate as the light is bent around it. Then there was a short, sharp burst of ultraviolet light, and then whatever you're watching is gone. And as quick as all that begun, it finished. On March 24th, 2001, John Titor shared his final message with the world. I will be leaving this world line shortly, and this will be my final post. True to say, it was. And he was never heard of again. I think it's quite apt that at this moment in time you can hear an airplane going over my house. Almost like John Titor there is himself going above, making sure that I'm doing him right. That sounded really weird. Making sure I'm telling his story right. I'm going to carry on with this now. I mean, what's weirder still is that after the appearance of John Titor and his explanation into like the Tipler and the Kerr black hole, Stephen Hawking seemingly changed his mind about the nature of black holes and Hawking radiation. Could be coincidence, right? I mean, you can make of that what you will, but it does lead to a few possibilities. People, ladies, gents, prepare. PJ is about to just blow the lid off everything. Either that or I've had one too many beers. Hope you're ready. Could Stephen Hawking have been John Titor, the man himself? Or could he have possibly thought that this is all possible? That time travel really exists. Sadly, we'll never know the answers to that, but it bears thinking about, right? Possibly the smartest man on the planet. Like I said, could have been coincidence. That is just a whole different podcast completely, people. Completely. And now I'm going to go into my conclusion. I mean, being honest, for me, it was a hard one to conclude. Look, I really want to believe. I truly do, because as we all know, we all have a future, right? No matter what it might be. But we also all have pasts. And if we're talking about traveling to different universes and galaxies through things like wormholes, then I've got to say, for me, time travel is a possibility. I also like the fact that the unit moves through time and not space. I mean, that's an incredible statement on its own. Then you've got to think about all the explanations that a tech used within this unit. And yes, people, I know I don't post enough on my Instagram at the moment. It's just so hard to get everything right, especially with work, life, getting everything there. But I'm actually going to post these pictures on my Instagram for you people, ladies and gents, to have a look. I mean, this stands out for me. Then you have Hawking changing his mind about his own theories. Then you've got, like, the hidden IBM function. Do you know what, actually, people? This is actually starting to sound more and more plausible. Could it be? Who knows? But if this is all a practical joke or a hoax, let's look at what person or what sort of person it would have to be. For all this to be a hoax or a joke, let's try and dissect this person and see what sort of person he would be. Without doubt, what I've read, he would need to be a genius. He would need to be a joker, an inventor, an engineer, a scientist, a theorist, a fortune teller, and a whole lot more. Also, he'd need to be a magician, as this person has seemingly disappeared off the face of the planet. Well, maybe in this worldline timeline, I don't know. I mean, and this is what is making this story stand out from the rest. You would have thought, right? 2021, I mean, it's only 20 years ago. Unless said person has passed, sincerely, apologies if he has, you would have thought they might have come out and said, do you know what? I got every one of you lot. You all see it and you all believe me. But no one has. Now on to the question. Was John Titor a time traveller from the future sent back in time to obtain an old computer to save his planet? Bit melodramatic there, it was only to save his computer system, but I thought it sounded cool. Fact, fiction or bullshit? Like I said, people, I so wanted to believe. But I'm going to have to call it fiction. If it was real, we'd be getting visits on the regs. So far, all I've seen on the internet is dodgy videos on YouTube where people wearing stupid face masks or their faces blurred out saying, I'm from the future, I've seen this, this and this. Wouldn't you like to think that if time travel existed, in the year 2036, I think he said, I mean, that's just over 15 years away, maybe just under. A lot of us would still be alive then. Wouldn't you be coming back seeing yourself? Just saying. Wouldn't you be coming back saying, like, listen, need to stop being an arsehole. People don't like you. That sort of thing. I mean, you could come back and say this, this and this. Bet on this because you'd be a millionaire. I don't know what the rules are. Never time travelled, yeah? But we'll be seeing more people. I've got no doubts about it. But I'm also saying this, though. Will everyone be looking out in the year 2036 to see if time travel is actually, like, stated as being real? Also, if John Titor actually travelled back from the year 2036 as a time traveller soldier, he's got to have been at least 18 years of age, right, to travel back. I'm assuming that's a specialised mission, so he could be a little bit older. That means that John Titor is alive on our planet at this moment in time. What a way to end a podcast, right? By the way, I did look on Facebook, can't find him. Lots of others there, but I don't know if their real names are John Titor. But yeah, what a way to end a podcast. People, it's a pleasure to be back as per usual. I know I went for a stage, 3 weeks, three podcasts, great. I just needed a week off, work, stress, everything. Glad to be back. I know I've been going on a bit of a tangent. I just wanted some unusual ones. I didn't want to go mainstream. And the ones that I've done recently haven't got a lot of traction. The next few will. They're going to be more mainstream, more people will know about. But I just need to do them. They're ones I enjoy most. The things I don't know about. The things that are a little bit out there that not a lot of people know about. People, ladies, gents, if you enjoy this podcast, please share it. The more listeners, the better it gets. I mean, that's the way it is, I suppose. If not, it's all good. I'm still going to carry on talking about weird and wonderful things. People, ladies, gents, please stay safe. Please look after each other. Until next time.